So let's check in now on the state of the coronavirus, which has infected more than 40 million people worldwide. Tara Smith is a professor of epidemiology at Kent State University in Ohio. Professor, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And last week, Governor Mike DeWine said that this is the worst shape Ohio has been in since the start of the pandemic. Is that a good way to characterize it? What are you seeing?
It's not good, but that is where we are. We saw a record high number of cases on October 17th with over 2,200 cases identified in a single day. We're up to 182,000 total with over 5,000 deaths. So not the place that we wanted to be when we were thinking about opening back up in the spring.
On the other hand, you may have had record single day numbers last week, but I also see that Ohio reported no deaths yesterday. So what explains that? Is there like a lag between the new cases and deaths, or are doctors just getting better at treating it?
A little bit of both. There is a lag, of course, because people become infected and then it takes a while for them to get really sick and unfortunately to pass away. Weekends also are a little tricky. Sometimes numbers are not always reported as quickly on the weekend, so I always take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. But we have seen definitely a decrease in mortality rates over the course of the pandemic, and part of that is probably coming because we are better at treating it now than we were in March and April. And part of that is also because we're seeing more cases in young individuals who are less likely to die from infection.
Well, one of the things that we've noticed as cases surge in the Midwest and also as they surge across the country this fall is that it's happening in many smaller cities and in rural areas, places like New Mexico, Missouri, South Dakota. We just saw that one of Utah's largest hospitals, ran out of beds in its ICU just on Friday. What do you think accounts for the latest surge that we've seen in so much of the country, especially in these smaller places?
Yeah, it's been something that I've been really, unfortunately, waiting for since the spring is for some of these smaller cities and rural areas really to get hit. You know, they were kind of isolated early on because they don't have a lot of contact necessarily with some of the larger cities, which were really kind of the focus early on. But eventually it's going to trickle down to some of these areas, and that's what we're seeing now. So in Ohio, that's where some of our worst outbreaks are in smaller counties in the northwest and southeastern parts of the state. And it doesn't take very much, unfortunately, to overwhelm some of these hospitals because they're small, they're often understaffed, underfunded. And so when it hits hard in some of these areas, as you just mentioned in Utah, it can be really quick for those hospitals to become overwhelmed.
What's the outlook ahead for those places?
Not good right now. You know, what I'm still seeing, even as we see this outbreak increase in Ohio, is a lot of skepticism, especially on the part of people living in small towns and rural areas that tend to kind of lean more conservative and more Republican. And I think those are the ones that have really been affected by some of the misinformation and disinformation really that has gone out, unfortunately, from some leaders in the Republican Party. So they're really populations that are susceptible because they're not taking a lot of precautions.
Well, we even saw the president campaigning in Wisconsin over the weekend. It's one of the hardest hit places in the country right now. So I think that gets to what you're saying there. But how much of it has to do with just straight up COVID fatigue? Dr. David Margolis at Metro Health in Cleveland told the Columbus Dispatch recently that people might be approaching their pandemic measures the same way they approach dieting. You know, that is like it's kind of a drag and it's maybe not a big deal to break the rules every once in a while. Like how much of it is that? We're just sort of tired of living this way.
Yeah, I think that's definitely contributing to it as well. We've seen in Ohio some of the big drivers of these new cases are small gatherings or other types of gatherings. So, you know, weddings, small family gatherings with maybe only 10 or 20 people, but that are inside and unmasked. So these are people that you feel safe with. They're your family members. Maybe they don't look sick, but you don't know who may be incubating that virus and unfortunately spreading it at some of these gatherings. So I think people are starting to let their guard down. They're starting to get tired of, you know, the measures that are in place, understandably so. But the virus doesn't care how tired you are of those measures. And so we're really concerned going forward as it's getting cold. People aren't able to do those activities outside anymore. So they're going to be moving them inside. And that's really when we're expecting cases to rise even further.
Yeah. How concerned are you about some of these small family gatherings that may actually be happening outside? Do you see any evidence that the virus is still spreading that way?
Yeah, there have been a couple of reports that, I mean, outside is not a panacea. It makes things less risky, but especially if you spend a lot of time together, if you're in relatively close contact, and if you're unmasked, it can still spread. And I think maybe that message has not gotten out there enough. People think outside is safe, and it's safer, but you still need to take other precautions as well.
But as you say, it's getting colder in much of the country right now. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about efforts to develop a vaccine. Last week, we saw two high-profile, late-stage clinical trials paused because of potential safety concerns. That was a potential vaccine from Johnson & Johnson and then an antibody treatment from Eli Lilly. There was another vaccine candidate, AstraZeneca, that took a similar pause about a month earlier. Just taking a look at these, what are your thoughts on the state of these trials across the country?
Yeah, we're paying attention to those. And Pfizer noted this week that they were planning on submitting an emergency use authorization by about mid-November, which is when they'll be wrapping up their phase three trials. So we still have some going forward.
After the election, notably.
After the election, mid to late November. So we still do have some going forward, some that have had some events that have caused concern. And that's the biggest thing that we're worried about here, really, is of course, we want a vaccine that is effective, but most importantly, we want a vaccine that is safe and that is not going to cause harm to those that would get it. So that's why those companies are really taking these extra steps to pause their studies, to look at what's going on with some of those reported events, rather than to just continue carrying them on and potentially having other people harmed from this. So I'm still encouraged that we could have a vaccine start to roll out, perhaps in the early part of 2021, but definitely we're not going to see anything before the election and probably for the general public, you know, not in 2020 at all.
Yeah, that's Tara Smith, professor of epidemiology at Kent State University. Thank you very much.
Thank you.